to accept the challenges that really and truly are involved in new seasons, new life changes. And I think one of the temptations we have in our life is that we go into a new year and we say, I'm not going to make any resolutions. And I'm not for resolutions personally. I'm for commitments and dedications. And you'll find out tonight I'm for a disciplined living. And I think that's what the Bible teaches. I think we should teach that. It should be an orderly life. And but, I mean, if you want to make resolutions and make commitments and things like that for the year, what a blessing that is. I mean, you go ahead and knock it out. I support it. I really do. I like using the word commitment. But I know people are afraid to go into a new year because of that reason. A lot of people, they get into a new year like, oh, what is it going to bring? And what kind of commitments do I have to make? What kind of changes do I have to make? Because you hear so much about it. And then the other side, they swing the pendulum over to the other way. And they're like, it's just another day. And I think Denise and I probably fell more on that side of it to where we've not made it special. We really haven't made a big deal about New Year's. As a matter of fact, I think probably out of 20 years of marriage, we've probably only been awake for two New Year's coming in, to be honest with you, because we just haven't thought about it all that much. And I'm not saying that's the way to go either. I think there should be a balance between. And I think a new year does bring a new season. It brings new things into your life. It brings an opportunity for you to make a change in your life and to look back at 2018, much like we heard about last week in the message that I preached titled Looking Back. So this year, as we come into a new theme, we want to bear our burden, bear our vision for what we want to see in 2019. My hope, my prayer is that it doesn't just remain in 2019. My hope and my prayer is that it carries on, because I believe our theme this year, standing at the crossroads, I believe it to be a theme, guys, in all fairness, that we face all our life. I know there's an old cliche that says that you can't teach old dogs new tricks. And I understand that. And they say it's quite difficult. But the reality is, guys, somewhere in our life or at all times in our life, we're standing at some crossroads that there may be. And what it takes in this life to make right decisions and right choices while at that crossroads is determined of the changes you make today. The decisions that you'll make Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and the upcoming week are going to be determined by what challenges you accept tonight and what challenges you make in your life and changes that you make today. You cannot make those changes at the moment when you're faced with the decision. The old saying is prepare for war in the time of peace. And the reason that is you can't prepare for war when it is upon you. Now, Joel chapter 3, verse 14 says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now, I understand that the day of the Lord, doctrinally, is clearly speaking of the second coming of Christ, the Messiah, when He comes at the end of the tribulation period to set up His 1,000-year reign, His millennial kingdom. So, doctrinally, I understand where this verse applies. I want us to look at the verse in a more practical sense as a theme verse for the year, because multitudes, let me put it this way, millions and millions and millions, 7.4 billion people on this earth today are standing at a crossroads of some sorts in their life. We tend to focus on the phrase stand on the crossroads as just in the eternal. And mind you guys, we should do that. I mean, this is certain for sure, because everyone born into this world, and I mean everyone born into this world, when they get past that age of accountability, are one day going to stand at the crossroads of eternity, meaning everyone must make a decision to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior for eternal life, or to deny the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior for eternal damnation. There is no gray area. There is no middle ground. There is no alternate way to get in. There is nothing else but those decisions to be made, one side or the other. Everyone will cross that road once they pass the age of accountability, and that's not a numerical age, guys. That's an age when a person understands right from wrong and understands their need. But millions upon millions of souls in the world today will not have the opportunity to say yes per se, but the answer that they may have, even in say not saying yes, is still an answer no. You say, well, why is that? Well, because of other people's decisions. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the day of which he ascended on high, gave instructions to the disciples. He said, tarry ye here in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Until. There was a time frame. Now, we know that time frame was 10 days. Jesus Christ was crucified, in the week of the Passover. He was in the grave 3 days, 3 nights, went to the heart of the earth. He preached in the men. He resurrected from that grave at sundown on Saturday, which is a Jewish Sunday. He was already up by the time the Sunday rolled around. So he was three nights, three days in the grave. He comes up out of the grave, guys. He ascended on high, took his blood, put it upon the mercy seat within an 8-day period, and he was on this earth for 40 days. Post-resurrection, 40 days. Pentecost occurred, Acts chapter 2, Penta 5, 50 days after the Passover. So you got 50 days from one Jewish feast to another Jewish feast. Pentecost, that's why you know it's 50 days later. That was when the Holy Spirit of God was sent down. That's when the Lord Jesus Christ sent down the Comforter. That's when people that knew the Lord Jesus Christ were filled with the Holy Ghost and they kept him there. They didn't get a refilling. They kept him there. Amen. That's when that happened. So when the Lord said, tarry ye here in Jerusalem, preach the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth, there was 10 days, and they were endued with power from on high. And I'm saying that to say this, guys. The choices that the apostles and then the disciples and the rest of the church in this world for the next 2,000 years will determine as to whether or not we're obedient to Christ in getting the gospel into this world for the millions of people that are standing at the crossroads right now. We have friends, family members, co-workers, neighbors. We have people that we see every single day in our life that are standing at that crossroads. They are waiting at a crossroad tonight for someone to come and to give them the gospel that they need. Waiting tonight. You say, well, preacher, why don't they just ask? They may not know they're waiting. But everybody is at a crossroads to make a decision for eternal life. And it is our responsibility to make our decision at the crossroad in our life to choose to go witness to people, to share the everlasting gospel. We are all standing at a crossroad of some sort. And there's choices that we need to make in this life. Some choices are going to be made daily. Now, I pray, like I said the same thing this morning. My prayer, my hope is that everyone that I am preaching to here tonight, physically, are saved, born again of the blood of Christ. You're on your way to heaven. If you are not, we can settle that real quick. You ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul through repentance and faith. You come to Him and you accept Him as the Lord and Savior. Accept the free gift. Free gift. Cost you nothing. Not one thing. Cost Him everything. Cost you nothing. And you can have eternal life and the forgiveness of sins sealed in the day of redemption. You can never lose that. Praise God for that. That's my hope and my prayer, that everyone physically here tonight knows Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. But just because we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, just because our eternal decision has been made, just because at that crossroads we made that right decision, does not mean that we're not going to come across another crossroad in our life. As a matter of fact, we hit these crossroads typically on a daily basis. And that's what the idea around this January sermon series is going to be. It's going to be over mindset. We're going to be looking at our mindset. What is our mind like? What is our mindset at in serving the Lord, in living the life that we live? Some of this and most of this can be secular, and most of it will be spiritual, emotional, mental, whichever way you want to apply it. But guys, we all hit these crossroads. Some of them are daily, some of them are weekly, monthly, yearly. Some of them are made once in a lifetime. Salvation is made once in a lifetime. Praise God for that tonight. Praise the Lord. I don't have to keep coming to the road of the crossroads of salvation every other month or so, or when I stumble at a rock, or I make a mistake, or I lose my temper, or you lose your temper, or whatever happens. We've got to go back to that crossroad and make that turn. Praise God. We are sealed under the day of redemption through the Holy Spirit of God tonight. I'm thankful for that this evening. But there's other crossroads that we come to, and we need to adopt in our mind a mindset. We need to develop a mindset in our heart and our mind tonight so that we can make the right decisions in our life. It's an eternal truth, guys, that every choice in this life that we make has a consequence. Some small, some large. But there's a cause and effect in our life. That is the reality. So, beloved, in order to make the choices that are beneficial to one's life, in order for us to, at the very least, give us the best option or give you the best option for success in those areas, there needs to be a mindset of discipline. And that's the topic of our first two sermons this week, maybe even three, is a mindset of discipline. This is always what this is what's going to make the difference, and this is what has typically always made the difference between failure and success in our life. It's not a vaccine from failure. It's not an inoculation, if you will, from failure. You're still going to fail. You're still going to make mistakes. You're still going to have loss in your life. But when it does, the greatest thing that you need to do when you do have the failure, you do have the loss, is don't waste your loss. God will never waste your pain in this life. If you go through a circumstance in this life, be it his doing or your doing, He will never waste the pain that you experience. He will always allow you to walk through it. He will allow you to learn from it. He will allow you to live through it. He will have you walk accordingly, and He'll have you thrive afterwards if you have the mindset of discipline that He wants in your life. So our text for the next 2 weeks, and possibly three, guys, I'm not going to sell myself too short because this is a quite lengthy sermon. As we focus on the mindset of discipline, we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And primarily, we're going to be looking at verse 2 there. So if you'll turn to Romans chapter 12 and read with me verses 1 and 2 tonight, and leave your Bibles there. That's where we're going to be referring back to this evening. And I'm going to go as long as the Lord allow me to go this evening. Then I'm going to stop, and we're going to pick up next week where we left off. The Bible says in the 12th book of Romans, looking at verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now let me go ahead and say something here. Let me clarify this. Your reasonable service. Paul is telling us by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he is telling us that the very least, the bare minimum that you and I can do is to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's bow our heads, if you will. Father in heaven, we thank you, dear God, for the wonderful opportunity you've given us to be here this evening. And I do pray, Lord, that you give us liberty tonight, give our hearts and our minds clarity of thought. Please give us understanding this evening. Lord, I ask you, the Lord, bear witness upon our souls. Help us establish some thoughts tonight. Help us concrete some ideas. Help us, Father, I pray, make a difference in our life tonight that will carry on not only throughout this year, but Father, throughout the rest of our life, and help us make the decisions according to a mindset of discipline, Father, so that we may glorify you in everything that we do, everything that we say. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen and amen. So, beloved, as we stand at this crossroads tonight, as we stand in this valley of decision, we all have choices to make. We have choices to make at work. We have choices to make with family. We have choices to make in church. We have choices to make in life. We have all these choices to make in our life. And to flippantly walk a path in this life by chance, or hoping things work out by happen chance, you know what that is? That's going to end in utter failure. If you have a choice to make tonight before you make any decision for life, the first thing that we need to do in the mindset of discipline is that you need to develop a plan. To develop a plan. Making life decisions without a plan, beloved, will end in utter disaster. And there have been people, there have been men and women and children that have done this. I could name you 100 of them right here, right now, tonight, that I know personally. And I'd even put myself in there and some of the mistakes that I've made. But I'm talking about those that have devastated situations in their life, all because of one bad choice. A choice that they were told against, a choice that they were recommended against, and yet they never recover from the one decision, the one choice that they made, simply because they made it without some sort of plan. I mean, one road made without a plan, and they've suffered for the rest of their life. One turn at the crossroads of their life, one bad decision, and the life has never been the same. Beloved, you have to have a plan in this life. Mike Tyson so eloquently put it like this: everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. Yeah, you're going to hit hiccups. You're going to have road bumps. You're going to have roadblocks. You're going to have issues that you're going to hit. Things are not going to work out perfectly, even though you have the plan. Primarily, that plan that you have, you need to make sure that it's the right plan, but it needs to make sure that it's God's plan. We concoct these plans up in our eyes and our heads, and we come up with these things in our days, and we say, well, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, but we have a few things that we're missing. Number one, we're not doing it with a discipline. Rather, we're doing it with a stubborn heart. That's not discipline. That's not being disciplined. Just being headstrong and strong-willed, and I'm going to do it because I want to do it, that's not a plan, guys. That's just as bad as going out into life and floating and reacting to what happens in life. Let me say this to you here real quick. We'll go to our preliminary point number two. Do you know who makes? Do you know who lives a life of reaction or a reactionary life? Pray do. The difference, one of the main differences between prey and predators, is that a prey will always react and think later. A predator has a plan. A predator, they think, they plan it out, and then they act. A prey will react and then think later. We had horses in Tennessee. I had about 16 of them at one time. And praise God, I was never kicked by one. I was kicked off of one, but I wasn't kicked by one. And one of the reasons I wasn't kicked by one is because I stayed out of the area where they did the kicking. Amen? And that's just a smart way to do it. That's just, you just eliminate that whole situation. But a horse doesn't kick you. A horse doesn't say, you know what? Paul's coming up behind me here. I see him coming down the road. He doesn't have the food that I like. And I'm in a bad mood today. I'm feeling a little testy. He's going to get here. I'm just going to kick the daylights out of him. That's not what a horse does. A horse doesn't do that. You can read a horse, their thoughts, and what they're doing by their ears. When their ears are pinned back, you better watch out. They're getting a little bit upset. They're getting irritated. When their ears are kind of cockeyed a little bit, but facing forward but not pointed forward, when they're doing that, they're happy and they're comfortable. They're at peace. When they're facing forward, they're listening with intent. You can read a horse's actions by what they're doing, by the position of their ears. 9 times out of 10, when a horse decides to kick someone, okay, their ears, they pin back first and they kick. But it's a very quick thing because it's reactionary. And then afterwards they think, well, what did I just do and why? Because they're prey. A tiger doesn't do that. A lion doesn't do that. A wolf doesn't do that. They plan. And beloved, in this life that we live in today, just as the Lord told us that we should be harmless as doves, but we should be wise as serpents, we have to act our life. We have to live a life and make choices this evening just like a predator would, not a prey. We don't want to be a victim. We want to be a conqueror. So there must be a plan in the decisions that we made, and it must be based upon a disciplined mindset. But no one who has ever succeeded in life and chose a path in this life to be successful with a plan, they've never done it without a vision. They've never done it without a vision. I'm not talking about a spooky vision. I'm not talking about you know, meditating or floating up. And I'm not talking about, a vision of what the Lord wants you to do, a vision of what you need to do in your life and the decisions you want to make. Many years ago, I opened up the new year with this statement, and I said that a plan without a vision is merely a wish, and a vision without a plan is only a dream. Beloved, you must have both. In order to be successful in this life, in order to be successful in this future, in order to have a successful walk down the right road and making the right decisions, you have to be able to visualize the future and make that decision and develop that plan for success according to the vision that you have. As you stand at the crossroads of life, my friend, you're about to make lifetime decisions that will affect you throughout the rest of your day. Some of these are going to affect you for a month, for a week, or for a day. Most will affect you somehow, some way, for the rest of your days. The vision intact and the plan in place, there's one other thing that you have to have. You have to have, in order to have success, and my friend, you got to have goals. It doesn't matter what it is. This is the truth about anything that we want to do. Any kind of success that is sought for, it doesn't matter if it's a 20-kilo PB on your back squat. It doesn't matter if it's a faster mile time, an improved ability in reading, better financial budget, whatever it may be. I don't care if you just want to lose one stone in your life. If you're going to succeed in anything, it requires a vision, a plan, and it requires a goal. Without these three, failure is certain. The key element to success in life, the key element to success in love, and even during loss, is that we execute these three in the proper manner. And again, I say this, these three elements are not a vaccine from loss. They're not an inoculation from failure, or even change for that matter. It doesn't mean that your plan is going to work out identically the way you think that it is, but the vision very rarely, if ever, changes, and neither does the goals. But the plan can alternate very slightly within the goalpost. What it does mean is that if you have no plan, you'll have no realistic goals. And if you don't have a vision, you'll only have a dream, which is dragging you down further and further the wrong road. So, beloved, executing the plan at this crossroads of our life, standing at the crossroads, according to the vision, you need to have the mindset of discipline. It takes discipline in our life to be successful in anything. It takes discipline to get through school. It takes discipline to get through workout programs. It takes discipline to get through a financial budget meeting. It takes discipline to learn how to drive. It takes discipline to make a marriage work, to make parenthood work. It takes discipline, my friend. That is the key. And we need to understand that success is not a continuum. success is momentary. So what does that mean for us? And point number one, within the mindset of discipline, if success is not a continuum, but it's momentary, we must trust the process. We must trust the process. Look there in your scriptures, if you will, in our text verse tonight in verse 2, and notice what the Bible says. It says, and be not conformed. This is the first part of verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Beloved, in order to make viable changes in your life for the positive, there must be a change of mindset, a renewed mind that we'll get into in point number 2 if we make it that far tonight. It does, again, it doesn't matter that if you want to help your lifestyle and your eating, if you want to lose 10 pounds, if you want to improve your prayer life, if you want to improve your Bible reading life, if you want to decrease the amount of social media time, whatever it may be, it's going to require change on your part, and you're going to have to refuse the conformity of what is common. Refuse the conformity of what is mediocre. Refuse the conformity of what everyone else is doing. Can I say this to you tonight? Just because everyone is doing it doesn't make it successful. Just because everyone is doing it doesn't make it right. Just because no one's doing it doesn't make it wrong. Understand that. What was right 20 years ago is still right today. What was wrong 100 years ago, still wrong today. And we need to understand that. What's wrong in the Word of God? The Word of God is preserved from this generation and forever. God promised to keep it. He promised to preserve it. He promised to purify it. We have it tonight in the Bible sitting before you. We have His Word this evening. Therefore, through that promise, we can put our faith and we can put our trust and we put our dependence in right and wrong and making the correct decisions in this life tonight. And we can trust the process that God has given us. And that process starts with not being conformed to this world, but have that renewed mind. That's where the process begins. Now, the process to success is rooted, and I mean 100% rooted, in discipline. If you take discipline away, the process will never occur. And this is how simple the process is tonight. Discipline mindset, having a mindset of discipline, is there's the thing over here, thing on your left hand over here, or my left hand, your right side. These are the things that you don't want to do, all right? But you need to do them. You don't want to do them, but you got to do them. Back squats are on the workout program. You don't want to do them, okay? Front squats are on there. You want to do those even less, okay? Ring muscle ups, you can't do them. So, hey, you got an out there. I'm just kidding. But you don't want to do these. But you need to do them because that's what will produce success in your life. So you do them anyway. But on the other side, these are some things that you want to do. You know, I won't go down that list because I'm sure I'll offend someone. But nevertheless, these are the things that you want to do. Okay? But you don't need to do them. That's the discipline decisions that need to be made within the process in order to have success in your life. The process enables us to achieve the goals that we've set based upon the vision. The process is what comes into play when we set those goals out with, and that vision is established through that plan. Think about it like this. There are days, guys, and again, I said this morning, I'm going to repeat it. There are days, and I'm sure I'm probably the only one in history that ever felt like this, but there's days you just don't feel like getting up and going to work, right? Don't want to go to school, maybe. You don't want to do school. I woke Mom up, I think it was early this morning, and I brought back memories when I was a kid in high school, and I remember her coming in and saying, "V, you got to get out of bed, you got to go to school." I was like, "I don't want to go to school today. I didn't want to go. I don't care, you got to get up anyway." And I'd go, and I'd usually go back to sleep when I got to school in first period. And that was true in my senior year, but Mr. Perry's class. But nevertheless, guys, that's the discipline mindset that you need. There's things that you want to do that you don't need to do, then you don't do those. Those are things that you need to do that you don't want to do, but you do them anyway. Beloved, this is a decision that we have to make, the discipline mindset to make the choices in order to reach those goals that the vision is set out within our plan. These are the choices to get up and go to work. These are the choices to get up and go to the gym. The choices to get up and go to school when it's cold and when it's raining. When you don't feel like doing it, but you do it anyway in order to fulfill our daily duties to be a productive team member in society and at work. This decision doesn't start on Monday. This is the key, guys. And I believe this is probably where most of us fall short. Those that fail to prepare will always fail, will prepare to fail. That's just a fact of life. It doesn't start on Monday morning 10 minutes before you need to go to work. It begins the night and the week before. The decision for me to get up and do what I have to do tomorrow when my diary is established will not work if I decide to do that tomorrow morning when I roll out of bed. It has to be something that I determine in my heart tonight. is something that I got to establish for tomorrow. People ask me several times, preacher, when do you start getting ready for church for church next Sunday? I get ready for Sunday church next week. Tonight, when this one's over with, I prepare my heart for church next Sunday. We have Bible study tomorrow night. I can't wait till 5:30 tomorrow to start preparing for a 7 o'clock Bible study meeting tomorrow night up at Sarah Chapel. I got to be prepared beforehand. So are we disciplined enough to make the lifestyle changes in order to achieve the goals that's based upon that vision? That's the question that we have to ask ourselves. That is where the mindset of discipline needs to come in. And that's where the change has to occur. If we are, then we will make the right decisions. We'll make them the night before. We'll make them the day before. Guys, we'll make the right choices to be awake and alert and go and get out of bed and go to work Sunday morning, go to church Sunday morning, go to church Sunday night. Do whatever we need to do. Get into the gym so we can work out. We have to make those changes. How do we do it? We do it through a disciplined mindset. What kind of disciplined mindset can we have? Well, this is what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27. He says, "But I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." I want you to imagine this with me tonight, if you will. Just imagine this evening that I'm up here and I'm preaching about being in the house of God. I'm up here preaching about reading the Bible. I'm up here preaching about having a prayer life. I'm up here preaching about going to the gym and trying to get healthy and make lifestyle changes so that you can reach your fitness goals and make lifestyle changes so you can reach your spiritual goals and make lifestyle changes so you can reach your mental goals and emotional goals. And I'm preaching about all of those things. And then all of a sudden you roll up in here next week, church, pray to God that you do, and you say, "Where's the preacher?" Paul gets on the phone. He's got the keyboard out and all the music's ready to go. And he rings me up and I say, "Hello. Hey, man, where are you? It's 15 minutes past. We need to start church." I say, "Oh, man, you know what? I just didn't feel like coming tonight. I was up late last night. And buddy, I tell you what, I had a long day today. And so I'm just going to give it a miss." Now, what would that be? We'd say that's hypocritical. You see, my friend, if we want to make these changes, I would be a castaway if I'm going to tell you to do these things and then not do them. I heard a question, a coach had been interviewed here a while back, and I was listening to the podcast, and they said, "Have you ever thought about what it was like to work for yourself?" And it was funny because I've often asked myself that question years past when I was practicing and when we had our business, our practice and whatnot, and because I was a fairly hard taskmaster at times. I expected people to work hard. I expected people to work diligently and do the right thing. We had a fun office. I rewarded people well, but at the same time, I know that I expected excellence in our office. Not perfection, but excellence. And they're not always the same. But in the middle of this podcast, he goes, "No, I really don't." And he said, "I never have." And he said, "This is why." He goes, "If I've always taught people to be at the office at 7:15, and I'm there at the office at 7:15, and he goes on to say, "And then all of a sudden I come in at 8:30, and everybody else is going to assume that they can just start coming at 8:30. He said, "Because so you know, whatever I teach and tell people to do, I'm going to be doing the same thing and then more, because that's where the standard is set." You see, my friend, the process is performed by a disciplined mindset, and that's what's going to help us reach our goals. That's going to help you reach your goals. That's what's going to help you reach your spiritual goals. It's going to help you reach your emotional goals, your mental goals. It's going to help you reach your physical goals for 2019 and beyond. If you can get the mindset of discipline, doing things that you need to do when you don't want to do them, and not doing things that you don't need to do, even though you want to do them. Guys, that is what is required. To have a disciplined mindset, that is what is required to have success in the life that God has given us tonight. We're going to stop there this evening. I hope and pray God's been good to you. I hope and pray that the Lord has touched your heart with that. But remember this evening, you've got to trust the process, because success is not a continuum. It's momentary, so trust the process. But in order to be successful, you must have a vision. It must be your vision. It must be the vision the Lord has given you. Based upon that vision, you'll develop a plan. And from that plan, you got to set goals. If you don't have those three within a disciplined mindset, there is no process to ever begin, and success will not be found. But if you do, my friend, if you'll set those out, if you have the vision that God has given you, develop the plan that God wants for you, and set those goals that God would have you to achieve, you can change the mindset and become disciplined. And within that process, you'll see success on the other side. Will you bow your heads tonight? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord. the opportunity, the time to be together this evening. We thank you for your word that you've given us. We ask you tonight to lay this upon the hearts and minds of everyone present this evening, and those that may hear online, Father, be it whatever venue it is. Lord, I pray first and foremost tonight for those who may be listening. Lord, you impress upon their soul the dire need, the decision, the life, eternal decision of that crossroads tonight of making the Lord Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. And Father, thereafter, I pray that a mindset of discipline would be their focus, would be their goal, a renewed mind, Father, to make the changes in their life so that a vision will be granted, Lord, that a plan can be developed, and Father, goals can be set out achievable. So success can be seen in the process of this life. Lord, bless us now as we have our time of fellowship. Bless us together, each and every one of us, in our last hymn of the evening. And Father, we give you glory, praise, and honor. And thank you for who and what you are. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. All right. I'm going to turn it over to Paul this evening for our final hymn of the night. Beautiful, beautiful.